Welcome to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast. Thank you so much for checking us out. You're actually joining us for the last part of a three-series conversation we've been having with Brian and Ed, the authors of Away Game. And so be sure to check out those previous conversations if you missed them. Excited for you to listen to this one.
I think we need to talk about winning. Because you just said it there, Ed, we still want our kids to win. All these things we're saying, we still want success. We want to cheer them on. It can be bonding moments that we did have these fun, exciting. Remember when we won the tournament and we're all there as a family and we stayed after for an extra day, you know, all these great memories that can come from sport and even travel sport and all those things. So how does this all play into that? So, you know, the losing can like throw us off our game. The winning could take us off our game as well pretty quickly. So how do we see this all fitting in to the wins?
We need to learn ourselves as parents, and then we need to impart it to our kids to detach identity from winning and losing. So like last night, we had one of those unique family nights where all our kids just wanted to play board games with us. And so we played Monopoly Deal. We played Five Crowns, a couple other games. And I won in Monopoly Deal. I lost in Five Crowns. I'm bringing it up now because I remember it. But my identity as a winner of Monopoly Deal does not carry over to today. I'm not going to be talking about it with my kids, right? Like, it was fun in the moment. I wanted to win. I was strategically doing the right things to win, dominating my kids in the moment. And it lived in that moment. It was really fun. It was competitive. I won. We talked a little trash to each other. And when we went up for bed, like, we were all over it and on to the next thing. I don't feel this incessant need that I need to play again tonight and win again tonight to carry over that identity. We've just created this system in sport where so much is riding on the win, and we forgot that sometimes the win is just like enjoying the competitiveness of the game. So all that to say, winning is not a bad thing. We should be pursuing the win. I think you could make a really good biblical argument using Colossians 3:23 that to do everything as if you're doing it for God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, everything you do, whether you eat or drink, to do to the glory of God. You could make a really good biblical argument that when you're doing things with excellence, the best you possibly can, it actually honors the God who gave you that gift and that spirit to want to bring about excellence. But it doesn't mean that just because, again, you won a 9-year-old volleyball game that you are now all of a sudden a winner for the rest of your life. You just won a game, right? So we need to stop attaching identity to the outcome of a game, good or bad.
I think
so good, Brian.
I think there's a really good, sorry, Ed, but I think that as those many of the parents hopefully listening to this, like, we've noticed the vibe that's gone around in professional sports right now and college sports in a really good way of athletes being more public and outspoken about their faith. I think that helps identify that. Cause I think sometimes we need examples. I think, you know, when mom and dad tell me, don't worry, your identity's not in winning or losing. You're like, whatever, mom and dad, you know, as a kid. But When you see pro athletes explaining that, when you see CJ Stroud, who I think started this, a lot of this revival at Ohio State, saying, I don't want to lose to Michigan, but it's not my identity. I'm going to try and become a better person for it and go do those things. I think that type of belief has trickled down into the sport world now, where people have shown, like, my identity comes from my faith. And I will be excited about winning. I will be super bummed about losing, but my identity doesn't change. So I think for all of us as parents, if we're trying to be like, I know this isn't going to land with my kids. They don't want to hear that from me. Like, just turn on the TV. 18 of the 32 NFL quarterbacks right now would profess their faith right now outwardly. and where their identity comes from. There's a lot of that out there, and so there's some really good examples of what true winning means when you see that out there. So just one
that's good, Mark. You know, the danger in that is when we only associate our testimony after a win, and we've talked about that for years too. Athletes have almost created a problem in that they only give glory to God in the winning interview. But you just said that Strava, a great example of saying, you know, I will say the same thing in a loss, and you just don't get to see that enough. So that really is important. It's also probably a lot of this blame at the feet of ESPN. But ESPN has made winning really the matters. They won out a New England Patriots team that was 17-0 and then loses the final game on the side of the head to the Giants. So they're not one of the greatest teams of all time because they lost the Super Bowl that year. They were 17-1. No one had ever done anything like that before. They lose on somewhat of a – but we don't talk about them. You know, when the NBA – guys, there's certain guys that don't get considered great because they weren't on championship team. All that matters is the chip. And we just need to realize that when we bring that down to our six-year-old soccer, that's going to, it's a lie. It's not true that that's all that matters. But when that seeps down to the six-year-old level and we're losing minds at a YMCA rec league game because we've got to get three goals to their two. And the ball, well, again, nobody even knows what they're not actually playing a sport. The ball's just flying all over the place, and it's going to bounce in by accident. But it really matters to us that we won. There's something wrong with that. There's a distortion in that, everybody. We need to stop believing that that actually matters that much. Now, when you're semifinals, and you're a senior at one of the schools that just lost in Northeast Ohio or anywhere in the country where this is going on, that hurt a different level. You've been working so hard. You wanted one more game. I mean, come on. That is devastating. But as we already said, it really still doesn't matter when they're 25. It doesn't. It hurts more if you get that far and you know you don't get to experience the final victory celebration, but it still doesn't matter as much as ESPN.
Mm-hmm. What do you got, Jocelyn?
Yeah, I think with what you're saying, when we make that our identity, it stings and it hurts and it becomes a loss of self because we don't even know what to do now that that's gone or that's stripped away from us. And so helping kids know that like their identity is not attached to that. So it doesn't matter win or lose. And you guys in your book, The Away Game, talk about the difference even between choosing a lesson over an identity. Would you guys want to talk more about that?
Yeah, I think what we're getting at there is it is really piggybacking off the conversation we just had. It's when our kids experience something in sport that what we can easily become victim to is doing what everybody else does and say, you win, you're a winner, you lose, you're a loser. But Christian parents have a third option there, and that's to separate putting a cemented identity on our kid based on what just happened in the game, and to take a step back and say, actually, what happened in the game outside of what the final scoreboard said that I can take into a conversation at the dinner table, or I can take into a conversation at their bedside at night. Did the referees say something or do something where my kid responded positively or negatively that I can either affirm them or maybe encourage them and challenge them to do differently next time? So again, it's taking our eyes off the scoreboard as the totality of saying this was either good or bad today, taking a step back and saying, what other options are available to me now? Holy Spirit, as I watch this game, will you illuminate things that I normally don't see? and give me good questions to ask. Give me good opportunities to help something in my kid change, like internally change, because of what happened on the field today and conversations that I get to have as a result.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's even noticing that they tried something that they've been working on that didn't work, but you notice that they tried. They tried to keep up on the fast break. They tried to find their person again. I'm thinking basketball. You know, they tried to do something that you know they've been working on. Maybe it didn't work out, but you notice it. Right, that, and yeah, you talk about how, look, it's always uncomfortable to try to break a bad habit, but that you took one step closer to becoming something different today. Yeah, you lost. You didn't play as much as you wanted to, but I saw what you did. That can, again, just kind of having these kind of, is really what I think one of the ways that Brian and I talk about it. It's restructuring the entirety of the game so that you can find micro things to celebrate, micro wins, or even just micro things. Again, we always want to go to correction and what needs to be fixed, but can we first see the things that are working, the things that we noticed, how you interacted? You were talking to a referee during a free throw. Love that you were humanizing them. Again, I don't even know what you were saying to them as a 10-year-old. That's going to serve you well, man. Good job, girlfriend.
Man, I love that. Those are the wins. And that's where I say, if we're talking about this all working together, like, we could be in that lane all the time with our kids. Again, we're not sitting there saying, I really like that your wrist was exactly 90% angle. And like, let the coach do that stuff. But if we're constantly looking for that stuff, then honestly, the coach may not even be able to know this because they have lots of stuff on their plate. Like, I'll handle that and say, hey, great job on the bench. I saw you lift up Johnny when you got pulled out. Like, if we're recognizing the character stuff like that on a regular basis, it helps. It kind of leads me to, we've alluded to this a few times. I want to make sure we talk about this because I think the car ride matters. So you guys just kind of said that, like, win or lose, I think we talk about the car matters so much right now. And some parents have, my kids want to put their headphones in. Some want to talk about it. Some don't. Give some perspective on just maybe how important that car ride home after a game is regardless.
Yeah, Ed, you lead and I'll follow with this one.
Well, I want to go back and say this too. We're not saying that there's never, again, I feel like we get in this kind of this binary trap where it's either all that. We're not saying there's never a time to say, hey, you'll get open on the wing more if you do this. I'm watching you play.
Yeah.
And I'm watching you just kind of get lost in the shuffle. Like, there's still a place to talk about that stuff. We go bad when that's all we talk about. And for two seasons of my life, that's all I talked about. And I need to flip it around, or at least balance it, okay, and lead with this other stuff instead of the correction. So the same thing is true on the way home. Brian already said this, maybe in another one of these podcasts, but to talk less. That all the research shows, so besides, that's just what we've experienced on our own experience, but all the least favorite time in their sport experience is the car ride home. There's data out there, you can go Google it. There's been literal research done that shows that kids quit more often than not because they just don't want to deal anymore with the car ride home. Well, why is that? What's happening? I've been sitting there for 2 hours, you know, seething, building up my list of things that he or she should have done differently, could have done differently, would have brought about a different outcome. Again, I'm also feeling all these other emotions that we talked about, of embarrassment, of fear, of we're falling behind. We paid this. And if you had not been playing video games, like I told you, this wouldn't be happening now in the game. And this is just kind of building up as you're sitting there watching it. And I want to unload it on them the whole time to coach them up and correct them. When really most of the time, most kids, they don't want to talk about the game right afterwards. In fact, I'll take this for Brian because I've heard him say it a million times and I've been doing it myself. Is just a great question to ask your kids right after a game is there anything in the game today that you want to talk about right now?
I love that question.
And guess what they're going to say? Yeah, they're going to say it's going to make you angry. If you're wired like I am, you'll be feeling a little bit angry about that. Like you should want to talk about it. And again, it's like, why? My one son is used to say to me all the time, why would I want to talk about the game? It's over. Like, let's just go do something else now. And I just don't understand that mentality because, again, I have major issues that I'm working through. But it's okay that he doesn't want to talk about it. And it's like, okay, where do you want to get ice cream? Let's go. I've been saying more Slurpees, less correction. Stop it like Seaway and get a Slurpee, right? Make the conflict be what flavor we're getting and not spending our time, you know, arguing about why did you do this or didn't do that or why did you pass it when you should have shot it or why did you shoot it when you should have passed it? Let it go, man. So I'll just hit pause. I feel like that has been a huge change that I've tried to live out differently with my fourth child as compared to the first three. And I think it's working. I think it's providing positive benefits to both me and him and our entire family.
And your future Thanksgivings. Your future Thanksgiving. Yeah.
That's right, Mark. What'd you say?
Yeah. I would want to also speak to parents who maybe wouldn't categorize themselves as correcting or critiquing. Like some parents just love talking about sports. We did this before we even started the podcast. You like prompted something about the Lions and I like talking about sports. And so if you give me something that's going to propel me into those conversations, like I'm all in, and youth sports does that for me. And so I get into the car, I'm trying to pay attention to my heart. And I think I've moved from like shame, blame, critique, correcting. Like I want to talk about sports with my kid. I just watched it for 2 hours. It's really, really fun to talk about it. But if they don't want to talk about it, it's going to be received by them as correction and critique and coaching, right? It's almost like we're in college football season right now. When we interview the coaches at halftime and you're like, they don't want to talk to you right now, reporter, like they're not giving you anything. So why do we keep doing that? Like, why do we know even as people watching it, we're not going to get any helpful information from the coach. We just do it because that's what we do as a culture. We do the halftime interview.
That's a great analogy, man.
It doesn't work. Yeah. It doesn't work. And it rarely works at the end of the game either. Like they just want to get out of there.
True. Yeah.
So
win or lose.
I do think it's helpful to have those conversations for the most part on the kids' terms to say like, is there something that you want to talk about? Sometimes they do something that is blatantly against your family values or would be considered a sin. And those, like, we're having that interview right there. Like they don't get the benefit of the Slurpee or the ice cream or the video game. It's like, we're having this conversation right now. And again, there's wisdom on how to have that, what it looks like. And so it's not a one size fits all, never have the conversation. But more often than not, I want the car ride home to be a sacred space for them where they shut the door and they can take a breath. They can get back to a regulated state that they know when the door shuts that mom and dad are safe space for them. And they can take, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or geez, if we're driving across state lines, they have time to get back to their normal self.
Well, if that's all we were going to do is talk about the game, I think most kids or a lot of kids would be fine with that, but that's talk about your role in the game in some way, shape, or form, and that's where it goes south.
So
just to talk about the game in general it just turns into this complaint about, you know, what went wrong, and it's just this dark cloud, that hangs over the car, especially if we wind up talking about them and their performance. They just don't want to do that. So can I discipline myself just to enjoy the game and talk about everything else that happened and not focus on his or her performance? That's a good question to wrestle with as a parent, I think. Now, if your kid gets in the car and wants to talk about what they did, which sometimes they do,
yeah,
then you can talk about it. But yeah, Brian said it, let them actually determine what the topic the flow is going to be, instead of just assuming this is it went wrong for you.
Yep. I think it's communication again. Some kids need to, I have one very external processor kid and one very internal processor kid too. So yeah, it might be super healthy for some of our kids to want to talk it out. And then that's where our role comes in to lead. I think, won't get into this now, but like, sent you guys a quote before I saw it, was said the whispers of the car can become the voice of the locker room. So super important for us to remember the things we are saying to our kids are important in those situations. So even if they're quote unquote not listening and we're talking as spouses about the refs or the coaches or whatever, like those things can become way too liable before we know it. So I think that's an important piece to remember. I really like that quote. But in general, yeah, some of our kids just may want to talk about the game. We have to do that and find ourselves talking about the things they want to talk about, keeping ourselves where we need to be with our shelves aligned properly, and then let the internal processors internally process. So I really like that.
Sometimes your kid's going to get in the car and say, I sucked today, or, mm-hmm. because they didn't get to play at all, or they weren't good today, or they messed up. And I just need to get better at one, asking more questions about that instead of trying to have answers right away to it. Yes. Like, tell me more about that.
Yeah.
What made you feel that way? What did you do today that's leading you to feel like you sucked? And just help. Again, it's just a good practice even to an exploring conversation about that first. But at the end of that, more often than not, I don't really know how to fix that. I want to be able to fix it. Sometimes they did. Like Brian, we talked about earlier. Yeah, you didn't play well today. But guess what? I love you. I enjoyed watching every bit of it, and nothing's changing in our house because of it. What flavor Slurpee do you want?
There you go. I like that.
Hey, yeah. They need to hear that 1,000 times across 10 years of doing youth sports with you. That's always an answer to go to.
That's great. I think everything here is going to be so practical for our parents to hopefully grab hold of and be convicting, and maybe they'll start kind of changing the way that they approach their kids. Just as we're wrapping up here, the question I want to ask you guys to leave you with is there any other thoughts or any other pieces of advice that you'd want to leave to Christian parents as they navigate youth sports? Like, is there any, if you didn't hear anything else, we want you to take this away from away game, from these conversations, what would be most practical for them?
I'll go first because I'm an external processor and Brian wants to internally process that a little bit. And I'll just say two things very quickly. One is, it's not too late to start again, whatever that means. And again, this is landing. If anybody's listening to this, it's landing on all of us in different ways. You're in different seasons. You're feeling different levels of regret about this, that, or the other. You have more questions. Get all that. It's not too late to start doing the right thing with your kid today. And sometimes what we just need to do is go and apologize. Some of our older kids, we just need to say, I wish I had done this differently. There's so much going on. I feel so much fear. I don't know what I'm doing. And just admit that. And that will go a long way towards overcoming a multitude of youth sports sins that we commit. The second, try to do this alone. And Brian and I have been saying this now for, the last couple of years as we've been in these conversations, and we've been saying it here. Within the church, within your little community of parents that sit in the stands every weekend, maybe get a copy of Away Game or get something else. Get these podcasts and listen to them together and give yourselves some language to use with each other, permission to say, we don't know what we're doing. We haven't done this perfectly, but we want this to look different. on our watch together. And just like Daniel did, lock arms with a handful of other people and say, let's figure out what it means to be faithfully obedient right here in the midst of this and try to create a better experience for both our kids and us. We've been doing that. We're still doing that. We're having these conversations with a handful of other parents, and it's actually pretty fun, to be honest. I don't feel alone. I feel like we're on the same journey, and I'm actually starting to get more concerned about their kids than I am even my own, which is a good thing to have happen. You know, they're getting more concerned about my kid than just their own. There's some real synergy that comes from that, especially amongst believers that are just trying to live different in this space. So don't try to do it alone. That's what I'd say.
Yep, that's good, Ed. I'd agree with both of those. My third would be, man, enjoy it. If your kid is playing sports right now, it is within your capacity to enjoy that. Like, your joy in watching your kid play a game should not be dependent on a win or a loss and how they play. Like, there is an immense amount of goodness in just watching your kid move their body and try to creatively figure this out and succeed and fail and think on their own and respond to coach and cheer with teammates and cry with teammates and all the good that comes with sports. If 70% of kids are quitting by 13, you don't know if your kid's gonna keep playing. And so enjoy the time that you get to actually watch them play.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't raise your kids to be Cleveland sports fans. When my kids come back home, that's actually what I hear more from them in their 20s than anything else. They don't talk about their youth sports experience. They say, Dad, you've condemned us to this prison of Cleveland Browns.
Man, that's facts right there.
Hang in there. Hang in there. Don't let go. Don't let go. Thanks for having us.
This is awesome, guys. Yeah, thank you so much for being here. Like I said, there's probably a bunch of other topics we could even get in. Ed said it. I would tell you guys, pick up a copy of the book. Listen to the book. It's awesome to hear your guys' feedback on the back end. Look at the Christian Athlete website. We just want to come alongside everybody. So this was perfect, hopefully for parents and anybody else listening. And we appreciate you guys being on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for bringing us in.
That was part three of our conversation with Brian and Ed. And what they bring a lot of awareness to is the power of the car ride home. What Mark said a lot is that the whispers in the car become the voices in the locker room. And so even if you're curious more about that, be sure to check out their book, look into their resources, because those would be very helpful for you. So thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.